Good evening. I'm going to tell a quick Branson story real quick. Missy and I went on the Branson Bell with Doris and some of her family, and they had this contest where people would come up. Oh, I just pulled the family speaker guy hitting the microphone. He'd bring people up, and you couldn't answer yes or no or any of like answers. You had to not use any affirmative or negative. And he picked four people, and we had this guy sitting right in front of us who raised his hand like he knew the answer to the problem the teacher was giving. And he did this four people, and finally the magician, juggler, whatever he was, called the guy up there, and he's watched four people do this. I think this guy has a plan. And he says, "What's your name?" And he says, "Don." "Don's your name?" "Yes." 3 seconds. That guy, 3 seconds. Tonight we're going to talk about loving your neighbor, loving one another. I needed to learn that lesson. And I didn't know that guy, but he was sitting in our section, and I wanted to be represented well. And no, it didn't work out. This morning and this evening, we're going to continue talking about the teaching of Jesus being uncomplicated. And I think if you would look at the amount of denominations and the amount of people that consider themselves Christians today, being uncomplicated is not something that Christians specialize in. There are 1,000 different denominations and doctrines, and they've added a ton of layers of complication to the Christian faith. And that's what a lot of times humans do when they get a hold of faith. They tend to try to make it incredibly complex. But if we look at Jesus' words, he simplifies things. Jesus tells us how uncomplicated Christianity can be. I have been, still am, terrible at math. Really, really bad at math. And I can trace it back to being in elementary school when I automatically began hating life when they introduced math. And the teacher handed out worksheets to us, and they told us to do the problems on the sheet. And immediately everybody around me starts working them out and going pretty quick. Kids were raising their hands being done, people saying this is so easy. And I just sat there with my big chief pencil looking confused, much like I do today if I still have to do anything really big. There was just a circle. No plus, no minus. It didn't tell me what I needed to do. And so I finally asked the girl next to me what we were supposed to do. And she said, "Read the instructions." And ended up on top, it said, "Subtract these answers," or "Subtract to get the answers." And then I could tell that 2 minus 2 was 0. But just having the 2 and 2, I had no idea what it was going to be. I thought I was going to flunk out of elementary school, maybe become the world's youngest hobo. And so, but after the help, I was able to get it finished. Problems that even a moron like me could handle. But again, I didn't do the most basic thing. I didn't read the directions. And so, because I didn't read the directions, what should have been incredibly simple became extremely complicated for me. And so if you're automatically uncomfortable today because you're inside a church, or you're afraid you're going to get compounded by a complicated message, you're in luck. I'm up here. It's not going to be complicated. Today we're going again to be looking at Jesus' directions for Christianity. And if we looked this morning there in Mark 12 and verse 28 through 31, where it says one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, and noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" And Jesus goes on to tell him to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And then he follows that with the second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And that's not very complicated. Jesus says that it's all about love. A love for God, a love for others. And then again this morning, that's what we talked about, was how to love God. And tonight, we're going to talk about loving others. If we look over into the book of John, in John, the 13th chapter, in verses 34 and 35, Jesus said this. He said, "A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." That is very simple. But the fact that it is so simple becomes a problem for some people. I don't think that Jesus ever intended for Christianity to become this big philosophical debate where nobody really even knows what or when the debate began. His message is simple. It's very deep in meaning, but it's very simplistic in its telling. It's understandable. It doesn't mean that we don't tackle tough truths, but Jesus breaks down tough truths into simple and understandable language. Jesus' command to love others is not complicated. It's very simple. And the fact that it's simple means that it demands a response from us. And if you look again there in John 13, when he says, "A new command that I give you, love one another as I have loved you." Jesus, there in Mark, says the second greatest command in all of Scripture is to love others. And it's second only to the command to love God. But he also tells us that love is not some abstract, indefinable quality. In this passage, Jesus gives us the definition of love. And that definition of love is him. He told us to love others in the same way that he loved us. He is the definition of what it means to love others. And how does Jesus love us? What does it mean to love others as Jesus loves us? First of all, Jesus loves immediately. Jesus doesn't place any social qualifiers on people. You come as you are. There's no vote. There's no election process. If you're bad, you choose to follow him and you change. If you're good, you become better when you follow him. There's no qualifiers. There's no prerequisites. There's no terms or conditions when you decide to become a Christian. You obey Christ and you just receive immediate love. And Jesus told us to love others in the same way. And so the question becomes, how do people earn our love? What prerequisites do we put on people? What are the terms and conditions attached to our love? Do they have to have a similar personality to your personality? Do they have to treat you a certain way before you love them? Do they have to love you before you love them back? Is your love based on political opinions? Is it based on religious affiliations? Can you love an atheist? Can we love a Muslim, a Jew, a Hindu? Is your love based on a person's social status? Is it based on what the person can do for you? And if we're honest about it, as human beings, our love has a lot of preconditions attached to it. We have all kinds of stipulations and prerequisites that make love a very complex thing. But Jesus tells us to make it more uncomplicated, to just love immediately. Don't ask questions. Don't have preconditions. Love just because someone showed up. Love immediately. And that's how really Jesus loved us. In Romans, the 5th chapter, Paul tells us in verse 8 that God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus didn't wait for mankind to live up to a certain standard. He didn't wait for them to get things right before he loved us. He loved while we were still sinners. And he gave everything up for us, even though we had done nothing for him. His love didn't come with prerequisites. He loves us immediately. And as people who are immediately loved by Jesus, I think we are called to live with an immediate love for others. Love meets people where they are, not where we think they should be, not where we want them to be, but love meets immediately, right where the person is. God's love isn't complicated as our discussions are about it. Terms and conditions, checklists, prerequisites, that's not how Jesus loves us, and that's not how he calls us to love others. Our love should be immediate. We have to learn to live at the speed of love. Loving others like Jesus loves us, again, means that we love sacrificially. Love doesn't count the cost beforehand, but love is absolutely sacrificial. John writes in 1 John 3:16 that this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. And I love how John says this, that this is how we know what love is. In other words, if it wasn't for this, we really wouldn't have any idea what love is. This is what defines love for us. This is how we know what love is. The cross of Jesus Christ is the definition of love. The cross wasn't forced on Jesus. He wasn't drafted. He volunteered. And he laid down his life for us. And it was 100% completely sacrificial for our benefit and nothing to his own. And that's love. Love never gives a second thought to self, but it is completely selfless. We are called to live with that same sacrificial love that Jesus gave us. If loving somebody doesn't cost you something, then you're not truly loving them. Love doesn't count the cost, but there is still a cost that's there. When we love, there's a sacrifice attached to it, which is probably why, as more progressed we get, we become so poor at love. We like to keep relationships at a surface level, because surface level relationships, they don't really cost us anything. When a relationship is based on love, it's going to automatically cost us something. Relationships always come with a price tag, but relationships are worth it. Living in a loving community is not optional for us as believers. We're called to do something more than just sitting in the same room for an hour and 15 minutes on Sunday. We are to live as a family. Showing up for service once a week doesn't cut it, because really that's too surface level. And it's easier and it's safer. Surface level relationships don't cost you anything, but surface level relationships don't live up to Jesus' command of love. He commands us to love others the way he loves us, which means we love immediately and we love sacrificially. And we also love offensively. Love is offensive. In fact, if our lives of love are not offensive to someone, then we're probably not loving others as completely as we should. Christ offended people with his love all the time. If we look in the book of Luke, Jesus tells a story there in Luke chapter 5, verses 29 through 32. And it's just a portion of that there where he says that a Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to the disciples, "Why do you eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were offended that Jesus was having dinner with sinners. And these religious elitists would never have eaten with those kind of people. In the first century, sharing your meal with someone was a very big deal. And if you ate with someone, that was a sign of acceptance. It signified a relationship. It was a sign of love. And Jesus had the audacity to eat with sinners. He offended the religious leaders by loving sinful people. And it's a good thing for us that he still does the same thing today. If Jesus didn't love sinful people, we'd all be in a world of hurt. And everyone on the planet would be. But Jesus loves sinful people, and he calls for us to love sinful people. If you think that you can't ever be loved because of something in your past, because of something you've done, here's my challenge to you. Give Christ Church a try. Come and be part of it. Listen to what Jesus has to say. And you may not like everything that you hear, and you may not agree with everything that you hear, but there's one thing that you're going to find out, that you will be loved. And we need, as Christians, to love sinful people, because sinful people are the people that become saved people. We love lost people because we want them to become found people. And that's how Jesus loved. He loved immediately. He loved sacrificially. He loved offensively. And he loved missionally. His love was attached to his mission. In fact, love was his mission. Jesus told us his mission in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. There he says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Jesus, his love compelled him to come into our world on a rescue mission because we were lost in our own sin. And we had dug a hole that we could never get out of. We could never, ever live good enough lives to work our way out of our brokenness. And so Jesus came and did what we were unable to do. He lived a perfect and sinless life. And then he became the perfect sacrifice for our sin when he died on the cross. And then, of course, rose 3 days later, defeating sin and death and giving us the opportunity at a brand new life. His love prompted his mission of redemption and rescue. And when Jesus tells us to love others the way that he loves us, he means that we have a mission of love. It means that we love people enough to share the gospel with them. We love them and care for them enough, not just here on earth, but also their eternity. We have a board out front about our attendance. And there's one thing about those numbers. Every number out there has a name. Every number out there has a face. And they also have a story. And some of those numbers out there are families that are struggling. Some may have just heard Jesus for the first time. And we get to be the ones that tell them about it. We get to be the ones to shine the light of the gospel into families in our area. And this is as much for me as it is for you, as this coming week moves on, and you become tired and you become irritable when fatigue sets in and you start to get snippy, and you can't be snippy at someone you don't know, and so you get snippy at your family, try to stop and remember what everything is all about. Every week you have the opportunity to publicly respond to the gospel. You have the chance to respond to the one who can give you more love and acceptance than you can find anywhere else. His name is Jesus, and we would love the opportunity to introduce you to him as together we stand and we sing.